Remaker's Mark, Episode 54, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in our 54th episode, where we are discussing what is probably my favorite action film of all time, the sort of desert swashbuckling action adventure film Raiders of the Lost Ark. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight? And here's the situation. Your parents went away on a week's vacation and they left you the keys to the brand new Porsche. Well, maybe you shouldn't, but yeah, of course you should.
I'm going to fight Mike Tyson.
Would they mind? Well, of course not.
Of course not.
Okay, seriously though, here's the situation. You're on an adventure, but there's a problem. Fill in the blank. I hate blank. Why did it have to be blank?
I hate Illinois Nazis. Why did it have to be Illinois Nazis?
F it, Illinois Nazis. Nice. Good work.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. Jeremy Nielsen, how are you this fine evening? And what would your fills in the blanks be?
I'm very well. Thank you. And I hate long lines. Why did it have to be long lines?
It's a good nice one. It's a good one.
Is that from the waiting perspective or the acting perspective?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent.
I hate monologues.
Why did it have to be one act? Nice. Lee, it's not the years, it's the mileage. How about you? How are things? And what would your fill in the blank be for that?
I'm well, and I hate stupid people. Why did it have to be stupid people?
Just cuts to the chase. I love it. Well done. And finally, Mark Josting, how are you tonight? And what would your fill in the blank be?
I'm fine, thank you. And you know what? I hate affective disorders. Why'd it have to be affective disorders?
Ooh, nice. I like that. That's very good. Well done. All right. My name is Kyle Dillahunt. I will be your host once again this fine evening. And for me, I'm doing very well, by the way. And for me, it would be, I hate carnies. Why'd it have to be carnies? Just because why not? Pretty soon it's going to be state fair season and they're going to be everywhere. What can you do? Hide in fear. Very good. So before we continue on with our episode du jour, that's the episode of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Yes, yes, you will. You know you will. Jeremy, this was your choice. Do you have a recommendation courtesy of this podcast?
Yes, I do have a recommend. And for those of you who are familiar with British comedy, and I know I am, there is a quiz show called QI, if anybody's familiar. It's quite lovely. It was hosted by Stephen Fry. For a number of years, he was the host of it. It has since given the reins over to somebody else. All that being said, it is sort of a panel quiz show with British comedians and things. And it's, if you like British comedy and the wry sense of wit, it's excellent. I'm going to recommend a podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish. That is a podcast that is the three people that do all the research for all of the weird random trivia questions on QI have a podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish, where they all just present a very random fact of the day that they have found through all of their research. And they talk about sort of the rabbit holes that they go down finding these facts and, you know, make jokes, laugh a lot. And it's all very random, very British, and it's all quite lovely. It's easily digestible. They're half hour, 45 minute long episodes. No Such Thing as a Fish. I recommend it highly. The last episode I listened to, they talked about, it's called There's No Such Thing as a Sentient Jelly. And they talked about American jellies and the history of jellying things. And that moved on to the fact that you can actually book tickets on freighter vessels and travel the world in a container ship, basically, and all kind of, it just kind of goes, it spirals out of control. But it's really interesting, it's really unique, and it's very British, and I recommend it.
Nice. Is it a daily podcast?
I believe it is weekly or okay. bi-weekly. So it's the fact of the week or whatever, not fact of the day.
Great. Then I will 100% try it. If it was daily, I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very, I think there's maybe 20 or 30 episodes total right now.
Nice.
So, yep.
I will give that a go. Thank you. Good recommendation. All right. Now, Andy, it is up to you to talk about our Oscars poll. So it's been a hot minute since we watched the Oscars, and we did have a wee little contest there, the results being what Andy is about to discuss. So, Andy, do go.
So, do you guys remember the Oscars?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Oscars?
Mostly.
Cool. All right, good. So we had a little contest that we have just about every year where people can guess who they think are going to win the Oscars, and we give them a prize of our hearty congratulations and a shout out on the podcast. I'm feeling a little guilty because for the second year in a row, my family members had both the best and worst scores of the poll.
It's like Olympic judging where you take out the top and the bottom and then just actually score the middle, that kind of thing.
Mom, I love you dearly, but you are terrible at picking Oscar winners. But you improved significantly on last year's version of the poll where you got exactly zero correct. This year you got six. So nice job, Mom. but my wife, once again, was in first place. She tied for first place this year. She got 20 correct out of 24. But she shares the title this year with an outsider. So I'm assuming your name, sir, is Paul Cliff, because that's what your email address states. I guess it could be Cliff Paul. Not really sure. Paul Cliff, congratulations. You are the tied for first place winner with 20 correct guesses.
Well done. Well done.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The winner of the podcast poll within the podcast. Have you guys looked at the results?
I did.
Jer, would you like to say who got the first place amongst the five of us?
For the first time, I did.
Yes, with 16 correct answers. Correct, correct. Mr. Kyle Delahunt decided to cheat and enter twice with a K. Delahunt will win and K. Delahunt should win. And true to form, your will win guess was much more correct. You had 14 correct answers. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mark, you had 12 correct guesses.
Well done. Thank you.
Lee, I
failed to enter.
You didn't play.
He didn't play. He's the biggest winner of them all.
I win.
I had 8 correct guesses. My favorite email entry was Scooter guessed this at noprizenoemail.com.
That's Scooter, a coworker of mine. He said, hey, listen, Scooter, there's no prize. I'm not going to give you my email.
Scooter, here's to you, man. You got 9 correct. Good job.
Well done, Scooter.
Scooter calls it like he sees it.
Scooter don't care for nobody but Scooter.
that's what I was going for. I couldn't get there.
All right. So thank you, Andy, for that encapsulation and congratulations to all involved. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot. Now let's move on to Raiders. Boy, howdy, am I excited for this. Andy, let's keep it with you here. Why don't you give us a summary of the film as though anyone actually needs it, but still it's part of the deal and our history with it.
Here we go. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now, a quick little sidebar. I didn't actually know that the movie was not called Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Like Star Wars is not called Star Wars A New Hope.
That's true.
Right.
This movie is simply called Raiders of the Lost Ark. It is a 1981 film from director Steven Spielberg based on a story co-written by George Lucas, casting Harrison Ford up to his eyeballs in Han Solo fame as the rogue archaeologist and professor Henry Indiana Jones Jr., and Karen Allen as his long-lost love interest and daughter of his mentor, awkward, Marion Ravenwood. They get recruited to help prevent the Nazis from discovering the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, that Ark of the Covenant. They succeed, sort of, amongst all the ensuing hilarity and face melting. Jer, this was your pick which yes. which you very clearly stated was a palate cleanser, and I don't, and I don't disparage you for it. But tell us a little more about why you chose it.
Well, I chose it for a number of reasons. Number one, it's awesome. Number two, we have kind of had some heavy, meaty movies with a lot of seriousness to them, or a lot of things that needed to be discussed that were had a bit of a heavier tone by chance.
We strayed away from our 80s frivolity.
That's a good way to put it. So I wanted something that was going to be, number one, a movie that we all are familiar with. We don't have to go and watch for the first time or rewatch having not seen it in quite a while. Something that is going to be instantly recognizable. I also wanted something that was going to be, that was going to challenge us to once again recast an iconic character. We've recast James Bond. We've recast a couple other like very iconic characters in cinema, and
Darth Vader.
And I wanted us to take a crack at yet another one. As many of you probably know, Indiana Jones 5 is all the talk right now. Harrison Ford just came out and said, Indiana Jones dies with me. No one else will ever play the role. Frank Marshall has said that it's too iconic to recast. Steven Spielberg said it is, and I quote, "It is not my intention to ever have another actor step into his shoes. There's only going to be one actor playing Indiana Jones, and that's Harrison Ford." In 2003, the American Film Institute ranked him as the second greatest film hero of all time. He's been he's in the top five of iconic characters all over the place on all sorts of lists. This is a challenge that I want us to take on. They're saying we can't do it, but we're going to do it.
Prove them wrong.
Are you okay, Jer?
I'm all right.
Take a deep breath.
That was great.
Kyle, you look like you have something to say.
Why, hello there. I died on my way back to my planet. No, I don't remember when I first saw this. I'm guessing like mid-elementary school, but probably way too young for a good face melting scene. So my dad worked in like home video audio stuff forever. Like he managed a few different video shops, and he had these videotapes that he would dub at work. So he was a very early pirate, which is awesome. And you know, terrible. Don't do that, kids. But seriously, it was awesome. Where like it would be one of those tapes that's you could fit two whole movies on it, you know, kind of like very poor quality, but boy howdy was it great. And it was one of those videotapes that he dubbed way back in the day, and I just remember like loving the heck out of it from the get-go. I've seen it twice since then in the theaters, once with a terrible just awful like sand in the projector print at the Oak Street Cinema, which I love. This is not disparaging of the Oak Street, it was just a really bad print. And then once at the official remastered re-release, which would have probably been 2011, I would guess, probably 30th anniversary, at Southdale. And so I was so glad to have seen it twice in the theater. It was nice. Just such a treat to have that. So yeah, that's my history with it. It was fantastic and continues to be so.
I would say, and I meant to say this before, but my early childhood, my elementary school years were dominated by three trilogies: Star Wars, obviously, Indiana Jones trilogy, and Back to the Future trilogy. Like that was those three sets of three defined so much of my early adolescent years.
That makes a lot of sense.
Totally.
and I would assume that that the same goes for a lot of you too, in some ways or another.
For sure. We all wish we could be Han Solo or Harrison Ford or whatever, instead of just weak nerd childs.
Yep.
Yes. All right.
Speak for yourself, puny.
We are going to have three major characters tonight and five minor characters. Let's move on to the major characters first. Mark, tell us about our first major character.
Certainly. Suave and debonair Belloc is a gentleman, but not a good man. He is a rival archaeologist who has a taste for fine things and for pretty things and for trying to kill Indiana Jones. Sadly for him, some things you never get to taste before your head explodes. That's a saying, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It is now.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. for my casting of Belloc, or Beloche, I definitely wanted to go for that that refined gentleman air, and somebody with piercing eyes. And I didn't go French, as the character would have us. I went German, and I picked Der Fassbender.
Oh, he's back. Der Fassbender is back.
It's been too long, Michael. Mm-hmm.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, thank you. Man. Yeah, I just imagine those eyes staring right into Indy.
Oh, man. Marion doesn't stand a chance.
Nice. That's a really good pick. I like that.
Thank you.
Man, I'm so excited about all of these recastings, you guys. This is going to be so good. It already is.
Well, let's see how you do with Lee's pick.
Ooh.
Like Mark, I wanted someone, I guess, with a certain degree of charm, but could still be ice cold at the same time. And instead of a German, I went with an Austrian named Christoph Waltz.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, Christoph. Nice.
Outstanding.
We got some big hitters in this
one. Oh, man, that is a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately thought of his Colonel Lander character in Inglourious Basterds sort of a template for this character, because they're very similar, actually. So,
yeah, very much so.
Yeah,
it's funny. The last thing I saw him in was Alita: Battle Angel, where he's kind of like a good guy. So I was like, yeah. I don't know, he's kind of soft. And then I was like, oh yeah, Inglourious Basterds, super hard, super super awful.
Yep, very much so. But nice. I'm curious to hear Kyle's.
Yeah, so I wanted somebody that has kind of the presence of Paul Freeman, who played Belloc originally, but is even scarier. Belloc was a very interesting character to me, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in part two, but he's kind of all over the place. Like, he's the first villain, but he's not the main villain, but he helps out the main villain, but he's kind of sympathetic at the same time. So he just has a lot going on. So he has to cover a lot of tracks in the role. And so for that, I decided to go with Javier Bardem. Somebody who can be both incredibly charismatic, incredibly caring, but at the same time is like terrifying, right? You think back to No Country for Old Men, and my God, I've never been so scared of a character in my life on the screen. And I wanted that to come through in Belloc, because I think Paul Freeman does a good job, but he doesn't have that. You know, the situation around him shows fear, like in the jungle or, you know, in the bar with everybody with the machine guns. But he himself doesn't. And I think Bardem could bring that like hardcore.
Totally. I think his bad guy in Skyfall is closer to this one.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Just kind of a, you know, doesn't really have a home. You know what I mean? Like, the world is his home. Never really had a place where he could call his own, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I like that.
Good call. Thanks. Yeah. So Javier Bardem, I thought that would be a good one. Andy, on to you.
Unlike Mark, I went very French for this one, because as much as I enjoyed Paul Freeman's portrayal of Belloc, Paul is not French. Paul is English. So I went, here's how I landed on my pick. I Googled handsome French actor.
So Yves Montand.
I did not come up with Yves Montand. I came up with, I'm assuming his name is pronounced Olivier Martinez. I knew nothing about Mr. Martinez prior to looking at his pictures, but I was like, that's how I want Belloc to look. So if you just do a Google image search for Olivier Martinez, I think you'll agree the man is dashing and handsome. He was in, perhaps you might recognize him from Unfaithful. If you ever saw that movie with Richard Gere and Diane Lane, he is the lover.
He's the beau.
He is the lover's touch. And he's been in several other things in smaller roles. But anyway, I know I'm probably not going to get a lot of picks for him, but I do think he is a handsome French actor who could probably play a dashing yet sinister rival archaeologist, which really isn't that the character that every actor wants to play.
Andy, you definitely will get the award for most accurate Google search in order to find the character that I'm aware of. We'll see what Jer brings.
Jer, who did you Google search for?
Well, I too wanted somebody that was going to bring a little bit more of an edge to the role. I agree that Paul Freeman never felt dangerous. He never felt scary. And maybe he wasn't supposed to, because he was the sort of He was just an archaeologist. He was just on the wrong team. And there's plenty of other villains. Although, who is the main villain in this movie? Hitler?
Nazis. Yeah, Nazis. Yep.
So I Google searched. No, I didn't Google search anybody. So I also wanted somebody that wasn't American, wasn't British. I wasn't dead set on French. So I went South African, which is similar to French.
And sure.
I chose Charlton Copley, which I was certain that we had chosen at some point. But I looked back and we have never picked him.
I feel like we have too,
but I couldn't find him on the list. But you would know him from originally from District 9 as the main character there. He played Murdoch in the A-Team reboot. He was in Elysium. He was an Old Boy. He was most recently, I saw him in Free Fire, which is annoyingly.
Is that like first person shooter one?
It was an annoyingly entertaining movie.
I kind of want to see that.
It's a heist movie that just turns into a giant shootout. It's really dumb and fun at the same time. But yeah, he always plays just sort of a slightly unhinged character, and I think that he would bring a little bit more maniacal edge to his rival archaeologist.
Awesome. Well, that is a good range right there. Dang. For our first minor character, the role of Belloc, originally
major,
played by
major
Paul.
Character. Major
Sorry,
character.
Major. Thank you. First role that is major. Of Belloc, originally played by Paul Freeman. Mark went with Michael Fassbender. Lee went with Christoph Waltz. I went with Javier Bardem. Andy went with Olivier Martinez. And Jer went with Charlito Copley. Up next is Marion.
Charlito Copley. Want to try that one again?
Is it? I think there's an I in there.
You're thinking Carlito's Way.
Oh, that's right.
There is no I. It's Charlto.
I'm going to leave it. I'm going to say that there's an I in there.
We're going to get letters.
Yeah, feel free to write in, people. Please.
Charlito's Way Copley.
Charlito's Way Copley. Say hello to my little friend, Charlito. Andy, tell us about Marion.
Oh, man. All right. Marion Ravenwood is the daughter of Abner Ravenwood, the mentor of Indiana Jones, and his one-time love interest. Indies, not Abner's. Gross. She somehow ended up owning a bar in Nepal, as you do. And of all the gin joints in all the world, Indy happened to walk into hers, and then it burned down. Play it again, Sam.
That is so good. That is a brilliant intro, my friend. Well done.
Thank you. Karen Allen. I loved Karen Allen's performance in this movie. And I realized I was texting some of you during as I was rewatching. I realized that Karen Allen had a strange power over me in this film. Still not quite sure. I'm still coming to terms with it. I really loved her kind of a combination of damsel in distress and yet a woman who can drink a person, not really sure if that was a man or a woman, under the table in a bar.
It's a Sherpa.
And run a bar in Nepal like on her own. So she's a tough woman. So I chose for Marion. I chose Whitney Cummings.
I know the name, but I can't picture her.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
She's mostly known now as a comedian, but she's also been an actor and writer and producer. She had a short-lived sitcom called Whitney 6-7 years ago. Her stand-up routines, though, are hilarious. I recommend you check them out if you haven't. I feel like Lee talking about a stand-up comedian. But anyway, she's a beautiful woman, and I think she's got the acting creds to play this film. Like, I don't think anyone would have told, or if you would have said, we need a woman who's got a lot, who can handle a lot of acting chops, people probably wouldn't have said, oh, Karen Allen, before that movie. Yet she did a fantastic job. I'm thinking the same thing for Whitney Cummings. And I think she would lend, if there is comedy to be had, I don't necessarily want there to be like ha-ha funny jokes, but just her own performance, I think, would lend some humor to it. So I'm really excited about this pick. I hope you are too. Whitney Cummings as Marion Ravenwood.
I like that.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah.
And her brand, her brand of comedy is a lot more biting and sarcastic.
It's very acerbic, yeah. And it works. She does it really well. She's equal parts, I think, biting towards other people and herself.
Yep.
Like, I think she can be very self-deprecating. So, Kyle, tell us of your Marion. Tell us of your maid Marion.
Yeah. I for sure will. I feel like I don't remember my feelings around Marion, but I know they were there. I don't remember specifically, but yes, she's just so good. She's just like so feisty and interesting, and it's just such a great.
That's a great. I think character. That word right there. She's very interesting.
Yep.
Like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted somebody that could encapsulate all of that, who can like do action, who can be really like just kind of, you know, scrapping it with everybody, running around, shooting, whatever. And so I decided to go with Tandy Newton. You might know her most recently from Westworld. She's been in Beloved, I think a Mission Impossible movie or two. Like, she's fantastic, just a wonderful actress, beautiful, just fantastic, but is able to go wherever a role needs to go. And I love that about her. And I think she would just kick some serious ass as Marion. So Tandy Newton is my Marion. Have any of you guys watched Westworld?
Not yet.
No, but I was looking at pictures of her, and what I remember her from is Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, okay, that's the one it was. I couldn't remember which one it was. She's great in that.
I'm trying to remember who she is in. She's the
she's Maeve.
Yeah, oh, she's good.
Yeah, yep.
I haven't watched the second season yet, and I just saw that they're about to start the third season.
Yeah, you should catch up. It's good.
There's a lot of things I need to catch up on.
She gets to kick some serious butt in season two. It's great.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Yeah. She was one of my favorite parts of the first season. I liked her better than the other main actress.
Yep. That doesn't change in season two. Jer, on to you. Who is your Marion?
My Marion is, as the rest of you, in somebody that is both feisty and can hold her own against what I presume is going to be a very boisterous presence in Indiana Jones, and can both hold scenes with them and even scene steal a little bit, and not fall into the trappings of damsel in distress too much, but can be their own sort of badassery. And so I chose Rooney Mara.
Ooh,
nice.
Who we have chosen before. She is from the American remakes of, or no, she was in, I'm sorry, she was in the, no, it was the American remakes of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movies.
Yep. The first one.
As well as, yes.
Sorry, they're making other ones, but she's not playing.
I thought they came out with the second one already. Maybe
yeah, not. That was Claire Foy.
Claire Foy is doing it now, yep.
Okay. She was also in Her really well. I liked her a lot in that. She is doing a ton of stuff right now. There's a handful of things that are in filming. So she's busy, but I think she would have time to pull out some stops to be Marion Ravenwood for us.
She can make it work.
Yeah, she is a very commanding presence when she's on the screen. She has a very unique look to her and just a very unique presence, I think.
Yeah, I don't know many people that can go the degree between hard and soft that she can go. I really can't think of many people that can cover that wide of a swath as an actress.
Yep. The only thing that I would worry about is kind of keeping that light, adventure-y comic tone that in the Indiana Jones movies has. I haven't seen her do that as much, but I think it's in her.
Just watch the first scene in The Social Network, that dialogue between her and Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, sure. Man, that's hilarious. That time.
Yeah.
Mark is up next.
Yes, I am. And I wasn't looking for much different than you guys were. Wanted somebody that could do, that could have a hard edge, somebody that could do comedy. I went through a lot of names, but I settled on Rose Byrne.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, Egret.
And we know her, of course, from Bridesmaids and a couple of X-Men movies, the Insidious series. I like her a lot. She can be surprisingly funny. And I think has a wide-eyed look that Karen Allen brought as well.
Nice. She did decent action in The Spy Who Dumped Me with Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. There we go. Couldn't find it. But yeah, I like it.
I think you're forgetting Star Wars Episode Two.
Oh, that's true. I was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, I was. Wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
I was thinking of the wrong Rose. I was thinking of Rose Leslie. I apologize.
Mm. Oh, got it.
Not Rose Byrne. Yep.
That'd be interesting as well.
Now I know who you're talking about.
Just in time for us to move on to Lee.
My pick for Marion is very much in line with Karen Allen's performance. Just thinking of someone who is very believable as a very take charge kind of person, but is also believable when she is, you can see that she's completely in over her head. So I went with Lizzie Kaplan, who I believe we've mentioned on this podcast before.
Yeah, a few times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I really like her for this. And this was actually the first role that I cast, because that's one that I thought of immediately.
That's so good. I love that. I think she's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Has anybody seen Castle Rock on Hulu, the second season specifically?
No.
She plays the titular character from Misery, Annie, I can't remember her last name, but basically who Kathy Bates played in the movie Misery, she plays as a, you know, whatever, 20, 30 something in the town of Castle Rock. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Nice. Good pick, Lee. I love that. I think that's a spot on choice.
Thank you.
For Marion, originally played by Karen Allen, Andy went with Whitney Cummings. I went with Tandy Newton. Jer went with Rooney Mara. Mark went with Rose Byrne. And Lee went with Lizzie Kaplan. Now, Jer, I believe you were on to talk about somebody named Henry. Is that correct?
Henry Indiana Jones Jr. is an uptight, tweed-wearing professor of archaeology. Dr. Jones is all about learning, history, and discovery. That is, until he goes in the field. Then he is Indiana Jones, a reckless, wisecracking, devil-may-care adventurer who doesn't think twice about destroying ancient ruins, trampling over newly discovered finds that could change how we interpret history and lost civilizations, and generally causing a crapload of mayhem. But at least he's not a Nazi. Nice. I chose, so I want somebody who is not going to play an impersonation of Harrison Ford. I want somebody who is going to make a new Indiana Jones. I'm hoping that a remake of Indiana Jones is going to be a similar callback to old adventure serials and is going to have that flavor to it. But I don't want Indiana Jones as a character to be a rehash of who he has been. So I wanted somebody that would have both the acting chops to make a new character out of it, but also somebody who, I don't know, maybe just took home an Oscar and doesn't need to worry about making something incredible and can have some fun with the role, and who's also married to my pick for Marion Ravenwood, Rooney Mara. I chose Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, wow. Nice tie-in. I like it.
And also, his brother played young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
God, that's right. Yep. I forgot about that. Wow. Family lineage. That's big.
It just seems like it fits right.
Dang. That's big. I am a little afraid of, did you guys see the SNL bit with David Harbour from Stranger Things, where it was like a dark DC redo of Oscar the Grouch? Oh my God. I'll link to the video. It is so funny. So it's basically a takeoff of kind of like the dark side of Joker. And they do a great lampooning of that. So I have just a tiny little fear of that, you know, of that kind of eking in, but he can do pretty much anything. And he has proven that from time and time again. So I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah. I think that if he just goes back to some of his earlier roles and some of the lightheartedness, he could really be a wry and fun Indiana Jones without being a Harrison Ford ripoff.
That he could. I agree.
So that's it. Joaquin Phoenix, that leads us, or that sends us over to Mark next.
Yes, yes. I didn't put as much thought into this as Jared did. I was mostly just looking for somebody that can do action and can do comedy and can do, and can really, really walk that line between them. I couldn't come up with a lot of names for it, but I settled on one guy who I think does it really well, has played a pretty similar character, although more roguish, in a big series of movies, as a little fellow named Star-Lord. Yeah, I picked Chris Pratt.
Nice. I thought about him.
Yeah, I think I think he can really straddle that line of action and comedy really, really well.
Yeah, Star-Lord is a fedora away from being Indiana Jones already.
Yeah.
It's true. I think when the rumors were most aggressive about a remake of Indy, he was the name who the hat was most falling on. So I think that certainly Joe Hollywood would agree with you on that 100%. And, you know, everything you describe is reasons why. That's great.
I feel like he's already done a lot of that with his Jurassic World character.
Yep.
But I also just saw that he's announced performing in a movie called Cowboy Ninja Viking. I'm already involved. I'm already in. I don't care what it is.
Is it a Munchkin based movie?
Oh, I hope it is. Oh my, God, my goodness.
Zombie ninja wizard.
Here's the one sentence summary in IMDb. A government program turns Duncan, a man who suffers from multiple personality disorder, into a super soldier with the attributes of a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking.
Yikes.
That's perfect.
That could be so offensive or so good.
Right. So probably both.
Right.
Andy, keep talking, but about something different now.
No. I went in a very different direction because I chose Dev Patel for this role.
Hmm.
Yes, you did.
I did. I just chose him just now. I really like Dev Patel, and I've liked everything that I've seen him do. But I also like how in recent films he seems to have really changed his on-screen persona. You know, his big kind of breakthrough was in Slumdog Millionaire when he was like 18, I realized, just doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
But he very much had this fresh-faced, kind of, you know, wide-eyed, innocent role. But some of his later performances, more recent performances, he's only 30 now. He's not by any means like a, you know, a wizened old man, but he definitely he's grown up. I kind of liken it to how maybe Will Smith went from being the dorky, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air actor to, you know, kind of all of a sudden like, hey, Will Smith grew up and got muscles and now he's doing more serious roles and action stuff. I kind of feel like Dev Patel's in a similar, Dev Patel is essentially Fresh Prince is what I'm saying.
Have you seen the trailers for The Green Knight?
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It looks really interesting.
Yeah.
I would say that Dev Patel even has done better from a drama perspective than Will Smith did. You know, I mean, I think Will Smith tried and did pretty okay. Actually, his Muhammad Ali is fantastic.
Pursuit of Happiness is pretty good too. But anyway, we're not talking about Will Smith right now. We're talking about Dev Patel.
But I'm just saying, I was giving kudos to Dev Patel because I think he's really made the pivot into more serious drama as well. Like Lion, I thought was extraordinary. Lion was that was a really, really fantastic movie.
So, but I also like the idea of putting in a little diversity into the crew here, the cast and crew here, that it's not this, you know, white man goes to find all the relics of the ancient savages. Let's get a little diversity there and just have some people who just want to go figure out some history. I think that he could also lend the action and a little bit of silliness. I mean, let's be honest, Indiana Jones in a lot of ways is a silly movie. That he could do that. Now there's his combination of the Dev Patel Whitney Cummings combination. Well, we'll see how that plays. I have hope. But I also kind of like the odd couple bit about it. So anyway, Dev Patel.
You make a good case. I like it. And I like him a lot. Yeah. I think he's a shining star down the road here, which is great.
Like in a remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Could be. Stay tuned.
Lee, to you.
What has always stood out to me about the character of Indiana Jones is his charisma and how that is balanced with a sense of, I mean, he's good at comedy, but while being serious, you know, he's not trying to be funny. He just is. So I picked Oscar Isaac for that because I think he has those qualities very naturally. In thinking about like even his character in Ex Machina,
which I rewatched recently. Mm-hmm. There are times when, you know, he's very confident in everything, but there are times when he's just really bluntly funny, and he's not really trying to be. And it comes up at really odd times, which I found very interesting. But if we're looking for something that's a little more low-hanging fruit, probably the most recent Star Wars trilogy is Poe Dameron.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. He's the Han Solo of the Rise of the Skywalker trilogy. And
exactly.
He would be making the transition into Raiders. I mean, it's spot on.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Oscar Isaac.
Very nice.
He was born in Guatemala.
Yeah. Yep.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He is so good. I love him.
Yeah, I like him in everything he does, pretty much. But Kyle, on to you.
All right, I'll finish her up here. Like Andy, I wanted to spread a little diversity amongst the crowd here. And I went with someone that can do just about anything, the kind of the Tandy Newton style where it can take whatever you throw at him. I think he would lean into the humor really heavily. He's also very suave, but he's kind of a dork at the same time, which I feel like Indiana Jones is more rugged, but ultimately he's like a dork, basically. You know, I mean, he's a professor that just happens to know how to use a whip, I guess, and wear a fedora. So it's just it's a weird character. There's no reason why this character should have worked, but that it did is what makes it so glorious. And I think that my pick could make that work as well. I went with Donald Glover. You nice. May know him nice. As a actor and singer. He was in Community. He is an incredible musician under Childish Gambino. He is just cool as hell. He was Lando. So I don't quite want like cape suave Lando indie, but I do think that he would bring kind of a similar type of energy to the role where he's just like cool, but it's like just a little bit off. You know what I mean? I just think that he would be great for that.
Lando and his character on Community are like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And his music is something else too amongst that. Yeah, he's incredible. Just a hell of a talent. Go watch Atlanta too if you haven't. He's extraordinary in that as well.
I didn't realize he wrote all of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like that's his, that's his thing.
That's his baby. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So for Indiana, originally played by some chap named Harrison Ford, Jer went with Joaquin Phoenix, Mark went with Chris Pratt, Andy went with Dev Patel, Lee went with Oscar Isaac, and I went with Donald Glover. Now finally, the minor characters, starting with Mark. Tell us about your minor character.
Certainly. Colonel Musgrove and Major Eaton, originally played by Don Fellows and William Hootkins, respectively. Are a pair of company men from some branch of the U.S. government. They first seek out Indiana Jones' help, like appreciative people, then deny him the treasure he worked so hard to recover, like a couple of jerks.
Super jerks.
Yeah, totally. This is an opportunity for me to apply some words that I'd like to live by. And that is, when you have an opportunity to have Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in the same scene, you take that opportunity.
You take it and don't look back.
Yes, you run with that opportunity.
I bet they would do it for free.
So yeah, that's for the guys that ask for Indiana's help, and then the guys that take the arc, I pick Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
That is wonderful.
I have two words to describe that pick, Mark. Top men. Top men.
Indeed.
Nice.
Thank you. Jared, let's move on to you.
I am choosing the sadistic Gestapo agent Tote, originally played by Ronald Lacey. I assume that's how that's pronounced. Probably not. He is a Nazi who enjoys torture and efficient travel accoutrement. Tote isn't the main villain of our story, but he's still a Nazi and a torturer, and that's got to count for something. I had one criteria for choosing my replacement for Ronald Lacey, and that was he had to look terrifying. So I chose Dieter Lese, who is a German actor most famously known from the Human Centipede movies. And if you look him up on IMDb, you will know why I chose him. The dude is straight up horrifying.
Oh, man. He looks like he could have played Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
I would let him do that, too. I want him in this role. I want him to do a Crispin Glover in Charlie's Angels and not speak the entire time.
God, that's good. So this is the guy, the really creepy round glasses guy who gets the medallion burned into his hand, right? That's
yep,
him?
Yep, yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep, and then he shows up in the desert and it looks like he's got a torture device and it turns out it's just a hanger.
Oh my God, this is so good. Holy crap. Nice work.
Yep, that's Dieter Laser.
Plus his name is Dieter Laser. Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's amazing.
Oh boy, on to Lee.
We'll be talking about Dietrich, originally played by Wolf Kaler. This hard-nosed German colonel is the leader of the expedition to find and transport the Ark back to the Führer. He's very single-minded and ruthless, letting nothing stand in his way, just like a typical Nazi. Side note, Wolf Kaler experienced quite a nice promotion in 2001 when he appeared as a German general in a little-known miniseries called Band of Brothers.
I've heard of it.
He's in one scene at the end of the miniseries where he's addressing his men. So I recognized him right away.
That's beautiful.
But for this role, I just went with someone who's been pretty consistent in playing German military men. So I went with August Diehl, who played the major, the commanding officer in Inglourious Basterds, who is in the pub in France, who kind of figures out what's going on. He also plays a German officer in Allied. I don't know if any of you saw that.
No, not yet.
That's a good movie with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Cotillard. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, August Diehl is he's a native German, and he's a very good actor who's always been very good at playing ice cold German Nazis. So
right up his alley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. Excellent.
Yeah, I think we picked him for Metropolis, I want to say. Is that right? Did we pick August for Metropolis? Am I remembering that correctly?
That might be correct.
I think so,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I will hand off to Andy.
I am going to talk about Marcus Brody, sir, which I think is actually said in the third movie. Marcus Brody is the curator of a museum that buys everything that Indiana Jones procures without apparently asking any questions. He's also a longtime friend and ally of Indy's. In this movie, he is mostly a co-conspirator, but later on, he turns into a kind of a bumbling comic relief by the third movie. He was originally played by Denholm Elliott. I really liked the performance. I really didn't find anything wrong with it. Just needed someone who could be a little bit buttoned up. Seemed like he'd be a curator of a museum that buys things. I went with, of course, Kenneth Branagh.
Nice.
Excellent.
Because I also want to see if we make Last Crusade, I want to make a scene where Kenneth Branagh has to barely hang onto a horse as it goes galloping through those sliver canyons outside of Petra. So
I feel like he could channel the professor that he plays in Harry Potter, the one that's super full of himself, but is kind of a dutz.
Yeah, see, that's kind of a dutz. Yeah, that's how I expect the third movie version of it. Because this one, actually, he seems pretty competent, apart from the fact that he really turns a blind eye on how Indiana Jones obtains these rare artifacts. Uh-huh. So, anyhow, Kenneth Branagh. Kyle, tell us of Sala.
All right, so our last one here, Sala, originally played by John Rhys-Davies. Sala is a mysterious and charismatic friend of Indy's who acts as his host, dungeon master, and poisoned date curator during his time in Cairo. He's the best digger in Egypt, and frankly, he's just so pleased that you're not dead. Sala is a very interesting role here. He just kind of comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you're staying with this sort of jovial, fun guy. And I just didn't quite know where to go with it. I think that John Rhys Davies is amazing. And it's pretty hard to try to find somebody just like him. So I kind of just went for someone who worked with the region, right? So somewhere in Cairo, Middle East, you know, what have you. And I went with Sean Tobe, I'm not sure, T-O-U-B. You would know him most from Iron Man. He was the one who is in the cave with Tony when he is essentially building the first Iron Man. He's from Iran. Yep. I feel like he basically is like, you know, kind of nice Middle Eastern, Persian, Irasian, what have, or Iranian guy, like, a lot. And I don't mean to typecast, but I think he does a really good job of it. So I think he would do that well. He can be both very caring, but also very, you know, kind of hard at the same time. And I think Sala brings both of those things. And I think Sean could do that too.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like him.
It made me realize, speaking of Google searches, just how few, you know, people of Middle Eastern descent there are in Hollywood, which is a damn shame. So that's my call out to Joe Hollywood. I was just looking and I just knew almost none of the names that I was pulling up there, which is just too bad. So hopefully
John Rhys Davies is not one of them.
No, he is not at all.
He's Welsh.
Yeah, but it's set in Egypt. So I, you know, decided to go for it. He is Welsh. That's right. All right. Whew. Boy, howdy. We did good there. Nice work. God, that's fun. I love this movie so much. I can't wait for part two. So good. Speaking of so good, Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you'll find show notes with links to all of the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We are on both Facebook, search for Math is HardNet or Remakers Mark, Twitter, at Remakers Mark, and Instagram, at Remakers Mark Podcast. So please join in the discussion there as well. So, gentlemen, until the next time where we have to face a cobra face-to-face, have no fear, there is glass between us. Until that time, gentlemen, may the Force be with us.
And also with you. With us?
I don't know. I said us. That was
also
weird.
Also with us.
That's really weird. Oh, well.
What has always stood out to me about the character of Indiana Jones is...
Who's rattling around change?
Who is that?
Jer.
Oh, I thought I was muted.
I was just going through my rock collection, you guys.
I just had my rock tumbler going on, guys.
Yep.
Hang on, I just have to eat these pop rocks.
Oh, sorry.
Are you eating screws?